now presents Heart of the Matter. This is a weekly community affairs program produced by WIEL.
Where is this? Nashville, Chicago, New York? We'll try Rosine, Kentucky in Ohio County on US 62 between Caneyville and Beaver Dam. This kind of musical jamming has been going on Friday nights, winter months, as well as those delightful summer Friday evenings for several years. Pickers and singers come in from Owensboro, Beaver Dam, Litchfield, right there in Rosine. And those who love to hear that type of music come from Owensboro, Southern Indiana, Cloverport, Muhlenberg County, E-Town. One young man who was in Owensboro heading back to Lexington just had to stop into Rosine this past Friday night and hear some of those sounds again. Well, I knew I was going to enjoy it. I'm a big bluegrass music fan. I've heard about the Friday night jams for several years, had never been until this past Friday night. Certainly, it was not a disappointment. It was great. It was a summer-like evening, even though the calendar said Friday, May 4th. Judy, my bride of 35 years, was raised in Northern Illinois, doesn't even like bluegrass music. Folks, she was starting to get into it before we headed back to Elizabethtown. Well, enough talking about it. Let's let you hear real people playing real instruments, no slickly produced CD out of Nashville or L.A., singers jamming in the tiny community where bluegrass was born. The father of bluegrass music, Bill Monroe, his grave an easy walk from the Rosine General Store, where these impromptu jam sessions, three or four of them, seem to pop up each Friday night. You'll also hear from the store owners, Glenn and Vivian Taylor, and other musicians, talking about how the Monroe Boyhood Farmhouse is currently being restored, how his mandolin was recently bought for $1.1 million so it can stay in Rosine, the local association outbidding the Smithsonian and the Country Music Hall of Fame, how a state park is planned for Rosine. Relax and enjoy the Rosine experience. We've heard the song Uncle Pen, but tell me about the real Uncle Pen.
Well, Uncle Pen got all his bluegrass started. He was a fiddle player, and he was Bill Monroe's mother's brother. That's where the uncle comes in. So he taught all the kids around to play. In other words, he got them to loving this type of music. And Uncle Penn's monument is up there in the cemetery. You'll see it when you go up to see Bill's monument. And Uncle Penn, that's about all I know about him. He loved to fiddle more of their stories. You know, that he would be plowing corn. Someone would come along and tell him we've got a jam session. He wouldn't even put the mule up. Get his saddle and go with him. And his wife would have to come out and take care of the animal, take it to the barn. But anyhow, that he got it all started. So the song, Bill Monroe wrote the song to Uncle Pendleton Vanderveer. And that's the song, Uncle Penn. And he wrote the song about him. You turn around, you look at his monument, and then turn around and look straight across the road there. All that up there is Jerusalem Ridge, where he wrote another song, Jerusalem Ridge. He wrote a lot of songs about this place here.
This fellow talking to you plays an awfully good harmonica. He's won any number of state championships. I don't want you to interrupt their song, but I'd love to get you on harmonica here. Can you tune in to what they're doing? Let me just pick up your harmonica sounds. Great. Your name again, sir?
Irvin Royal.
Where are you from?
I'm from Owensboro.
And Irvin later told me he didn't know that song, but you could have fooled me.
Glenn Taylor, Rosine General Store.
Okay, Glenn, let me just ask you, a lot of people come in here, and what are the townspeople, what are they telling you, or what are your thoughts about some of the stuff that we're hearing, that Bill Monroe's, the Monroe family, I guess, her old farmhouse has been fixed up. The $1.1 million bid on his Mandolin. This association, maybe a state park. Just tell me what the people are saying.
Most of us are pretty excited about the things that are happening. Of course, it means an economic boom for us all, you know, in the area. As far as myself and the others really into the bluegrass and Mr. Monroe, very excited to see the grants that's been awarded and the restoration of the house and the acquisition of the mandolin and other stuff too from the Monroe family. A museum is supposed to be built, like I said, eventually a state park, campgrounds, amphitheater, the whole thing, and means a lot of tourists and a big boom economically for us.
For those of us who are not from around here, we know that Rosine is on US 62, but where is the farmhouse in relation to your store?
The Monroe property and the house sits about 4 miles away by road. If you go as the crow flies, it'd only be about a mile away. But it's back down between Rosine and Beaver Dam on 62.
Have you talked to any of those workers at all?
Yes, I have.
What do they say?
A big job. That's the first thing. These guys are very experienced at restoration. They do quality work. I understand they did the restoration on Andrew Jackson's home in Nashville.
So where did this money come from? What was it, $250,000?
This is part of an ongoing series of grants awarded by the state. One was awarded a couple of years ago. They got another one last year. This one is something I think that's a part of those funds that's been allocated by the governor. It's a restoration grant for the house.
What's your name?
Elmer Daugherty.
And you're from right here in the Rosine area?
Yes, sir, that's correct. Right here. I live about 4 miles, 4 to 5 miles of Rosine.
Jamming here with some fellows. Who are these people? Where are they from?
The gentleman on the base there is James Robinson. He's from Beaver Dam, Kentucky, about 7 miles down the road. The gentleman playing banjo is Brian England. He's from Litchfield, Kentucky. The gentleman playing the mandolin, that's Eric Allen. He lives about 4 miles out the road from here.
Why don't y'all strike up something here for the E-Town radio? What's the best tune you do? Give me your A material here, your A stuff.
This is B stuff.
Is this B stuff?
Into the great pretty body did go.
we have people from all over the world. A few weeks ago, three guys drove up one Saturday from Alabama. They come in here. We kept the store open late and sat around playing music. We do that quite a bit. We have visitors from Japan, Australia, Israel, England, Germany, of course, all over the United States. By far, probably overseas, Japan, we have the most visitors from there. But we have people from all over the United States at any given day of the week. And a lot of times we end up, I play bass, stand-up bass, and a lot of times we end up sitting back here picking and jamming, you know.
And tell us the story. We've heard all kinds of, you know, old wives' tales about how bluegrass music was invented around here under some trees. But what is the real story?
Basically, when Bill started hanging out with his Uncle Pendleton Vandiver, Uncle Penn is he's known mostly, started playing with him, an old black blues guitarist named Arnold Schultz. That kind of set the stage for him. They played what they called their picking parties around at different schoolhouses and churches and everything. They'd play for dances and one thing or another. And that's really what you can call the origins, I guess. Bill, as he grew up, playing with his brother Charlie. Charlie was a little more country of the era, you know, in the 30s. Bill heard something a little different. He wanted to combine the blues that he learned from Arnold Schultz and the old fiddle tunes from Uncle Penn, and that's how he kind of came up with the sound.
The dobro again was?
Brian England.
Bill Monroe was a complicated man. How do the people in Rosine remember him?
Vivian knew him outside the area of show business. Let her tell a story about him.
Tell me a Bill Monroe story.
Well, he could be a real personal man when he wanted to be, and then he could be the other way too. And I can remember the first time I ever met him, I really didn't care for him. And my Aunt Mary, she took care of his brother, Birch, till he passed away. And his sister, Bertha, stayed there, too. And she was one of these type of ladies that was real prim and proper, and she never believed in paper plates. So I always tell this story that was my first contact. She would start cooking on a Thursday and expect Bill in, like, on a Saturday, and he would stay all weekend. Well, we kids, all we got to do is wash dishes and serve them. So I wasn't too thrilled to know that Bill Monroe and his entourage would arrive in his big white limousine. But I didn't appreciate the music and stuff that Bill had and the times that he would sing with me. And really, he was trying, I think, to give me an opportunity, and I didn't take advantage of that. But after he passed away and I began to get real interested in bluegrass with Doyle Lawson and Quicksilver, and I realized then what a great man he really was. And I've cried over that since, of what his music really has meant to this country and to the world. And when I thought back to the times that I was with him, you know, he was a really pretty special man. I wished I'd known him better.